of the planets.
Y'all know the name.
T-Turbo, Outernational Sound. Your mission is determination off the jump and sound. Seek and destroy.
Well, anything play this year, one up. We'll pack up and go home tonight.
So I go like him a rude boy and a grown and a chuck badness man people. You see him? Him can't take pressure, you know.
Watch it, give son boy that's the die.
Say him a murderer and him can't take pressure. Two box and a kick him gun in farmer. Yes, him a murderer and him can't tie ya. Two box and kick and him a in farmer. But we are heartless, bad boy from east. So we don't have no heart, we no dog at no test. We are heartless, rude boy from east. Me brush the one among us them to secure the peace.
King Turbo, the sound of the 90s, for real. Sound of the 90s, King Turbo. Back in the day when sounds like Black Reaction and 4x4 and Red Flame and sounds like Heavyweight and Roots Man and, you know, we're running the scene here in Toronto. King Turbo was number one. Playing out of clubs like RPM and Joker, Fluid. Clubs like Club Epiphany. The Scratch, if you're an East End man, Pickering, Oshawa area. You know, when house parties were the lick, when people would rent sound systems, club type sound systems, and put them in their basement. Big ass speakers, two turntables, a mixer, and you're good. Where men had blowtorch with they had their lighter and a bottle of hairspray in your basement. Licking off blowtorch. That's when King Turbo was playing. Back when we were going to Redemption. Remember Redemption at the Sound Academy, the docks? Those times. People from Toronto, Malvern, Markham, Mississauga, Jane Man, Scarborough Man, Eglinton West Man, Oakwood, Runnymede Man. They all know what we're talking about. When you used to have to go get your gear down at Marcy's, down at Eglinton West, if you wanted to get your Buffalino and your Travel Fox or your British Knights, or get a nice Bally boot so you can go to Redemption on Saturday night at the docks. When 88.1 and 105.5 and 89.5 were running things nice with men like Richard Banton, Mastermind, Nettie Nice, Presto, probably still DJing now. DJ X with the Power Hip Hop Power Move Show, 88.1 on Saturday afternoon. Ron and Lisa with Reggae Mania Friday night. And I remember there was this one show, 105.5 called Movements Reggae Show. Wicked. Had all those sounds come in and guest DJ. I have pure tapes here of those shows. Yeah, man. So King Turbo, I was just listening to some of these my songs in my library on the shuffle, and this came up, and I was like, yeah, I have to play this. And it brought back enough memories. But these guys were playing out when music was nice. You know, reggae, hip hop, R&B, when it was nice. Now the music out there is bullshit. The DJ crews are bullshit. you know. But back in the day, I'm actually glad I grew up in those times so I can appreciate this music. And I'm glad I got a chance to enjoy it, because like I said, the stuff that's out there now is nonsense. And you appreciate the music that's out there. Well, you appreciate the music from back then more because you're listening to the stuff that's out now. But anyway, so what's up again, people? It's Reggie, Straight Talks Podcast. Tonight we're going to have a pretty packed show. We're going to do an album review. We're going to talk about the first five picks of the NBA draft, which is tonight, which is probably still going on as we speak. We're going to talk about the first five picks, and we're going to talk about the 20th pick, because that's the pick that the Toronto Raptors have. We're also going to talk about a story that happened here in Toronto which came to a sad ending last week. And we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about a little bit of a story that was in the news for all you, speaking of music, all you music heads out there. Shocking story came out this week, and I'm laughing, and it's not funny, but come on, man. like Michael Irvin says, come on, man. And we'll talk about that in the first half of the show. But as usual, you can get to us on Twitter at Straight Talks. That's the @ STR, the number 8, TALKS. You can also reach us on our website, revamped website. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. STR, the number 8-TALKS.com. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, TuneIn. Number of different ways you can subscribe. You can subscribe with your email address. Pop it into the box there, and every time a new episode is uploaded, you'll get it directly in your inbox. You can subscribe via a number of different podcatchers. There's the Bodega now, like I told you last week. There's Amazon store. You can buy albums and stuff like that for pretty good prices too. So it's for people in Canada that are going to the store. It's all in Canadian funds, so you know what you see is what you pay. Plus shipping, of course, but get on that Amazon Prime. Free 2-day shipping is wicked. Not that I'm getting any money from Amazon to tell you that, but I've used it and it's pretty convenient. But anyways, join the forum as well. Register and log in and join the forum as well. You can talk about whatever you want in there. Not moderated. I just ask you to respect the people, respect people's opinions. I mean, everyone's not going to have the same opinion, but that don't matter. So yeah, we're going to get right into this show right now. And we're going to start off with that news I was telling you about. We'll go into the NBA draft stuff. Then we're going to do the album review. And then we'll talk about that sad story in the heart of Toronto this past couple of weeks. So sit back, relax, and take in the Straight Talks. We'll be back after this. So you're probably sitting there wondering why we're starting off this segment with Lean Back. And then earlier in the intro, I told you there was a story that wasn't funny, but now that I think about it, it's hilarious. Hilarious. The producer of this song and many other platinum hits has gone broke. Well, he's been broke. He's been broke for a while. Maybe the past couple of years. I think the past couple of years. For those of you that don't know who produced this, it was Scott Storch. Big name in hip-hop and R&B. Worked with Beyonce, Gwen Stefani, Janet Jackson, Terror Squad, Eminem, Dre. He did the piano lick for Still Dre, if you remember that song. He's the guy that came up with that. Hits. Hits. Man made $70 million in his short career, I would say. And when I say short career, I'm talking about 5, 6, 7, 8 years. $70 million. Bankrupt. Bankrupt. Had $100 in his bank account, he said. And $500 in clothes. $70 million. He blew through. And they said he blew through, well, he admits he blew through $30 million of that in 1 year.
Come on, man.
Keyshawn's right, man.
Come on, man.
What are you buying in 1 year? Well, if you work hard enough, actually, you could blow $30 million. No problem. But I've got a clip here that I'm about to play that explains to you exactly what he bought with his $30 million he blew in one year. And the kind of stuff that he was buying, the lifestyle he was living, I guess never thinking that it was going to end. And here you are today. You made hits for Beyonce. You made this beat in the background. You've made hits for Justin Timberlake. And I've got more money in the bank than you. Something wrong with that. But anyways, we're going to let you hear this little bit of a clip. He was making a reality show last year called The High Life. And it was his struggle to get back into the music business. But in the very first episode, he explains everything that he did with his money, and it was crazy. So have a listen to this.
What was the lowest of the low?
Waking up with no drugs, money, or electricity in a, you know, $10 million house. I've pretty much destroyed my life.
Rolling Stone in 2006 estimated that you had $70 million. So how do you spend $70 million?
I traded one thing, which was drugs, in for everything.
He was the coolest producer out at the time. Christina Aguilera, Beyonce, 50 Cent.
This guy produced all those tracks. Produced all of them. Club bangers, radio bangers, everything.
Come on, man.
Slim, Shady.
So crack a bottle, let your body waddle.
I think the money, the fame, the glory, it was too much for Scott. And the cocaine took over.
One thing is another.
He would get high for 12 hours in a given day. We'd have people that needed to work and I couldn't find them. We left Janet Jackson sitting in the studio for about 4 to 5 hours.
I have the pleasure this morning of going to take a urine test.
I was able to put him in rehab.
Moments like these that you realize you're kind of fucked up in life.
He's now clean and I'm proud of him. To have lost it all and to now want to go back after it again, the drive is much greater. We're a little bit more hungry. We feel like if we don't do it now, it'll never happen again.
So that was the beginning of Scott Storch's comeback. And that was last year. And it just came out again. Comeback fell short. Don't know if he went back on the on the drugs. Don't know if he went back to the lifestyle. That he made a little bit of money and went back to the lifestyle. Not sure. Back at the same thing. And it just bothers me to see people that have all this talent. Now, this guy's a talented guy. Like, if you sit down and listen to some of his life story, guy can play the piano, classical piano, all types of stuff. Guy's a musician. But this guy got caught up in the, I got too much money, I don't know what to do with it, so I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I'm going to give it to him. I'm going to give it to that guy. I'm going to buy this chick this. I'm going to buy that chick that. I mean, some of the things that he bought with his money. He bought a yacht. And I don't care how much money you have. You can't afford a yacht. I take that back. Probably 2% of the population can afford a yacht. The gas and the parking of the yacht, running it when you're using it. No one can afford this thing. Plus the price of the damn thing. 2% of the population might be able to afford a yacht. And I'm talking 2% of the wealthiest people in the world. Not 2% of the population. I shouldn't have said that. 2% of the wealthy can afford a yacht. And the smart and the people that are wealthy and smart don't own a yacht. Okay? Bought a jet. Don't think I have to say much more to that. In his garage, he had 30 cars. And when you say 30 cars, the lifestyle that we lead as normal human beings, a luxury car, oh, Mercedes-Benz, BMW, you know, Range Rover. No. This guy's Bugattis, Maybachs, 30 of the most expensive cars. Hey, buddy, I just bought a Murcielago. Here you go. Drive it. Take it. Hey, I just bought a Maybach. Here, take it. He was saying he was buying all his boys' cars, buying his family car, family members' cars. I can understand that. I mean, if I win, or if I get my hands on $70 million, sure as hell, parents, sister, cousin, you know, close friends, break them off a little something. But I ain't buying 30 cars. $10 million house, not buying that either. He said one of the dumbest things he ever spent his money on, and I heard it. I had to play it back like 10 times because I didn't understand what the hell he was talking about. He had bought everything that he could think of. So a jeweler convinced him to buy 35-carat diamond-encrusted perfume bottles. And even me just saying that, I don't understand what the hell you're talking about. Like a bottle to hold perfume, it's encrusted with 35 carat diamonds. And he said he was messing around with some chick and she bumped into the dresser and she dropped it and it broke. And I'm sure he was just like, oh, well, don't worry about it. That's what he's blowing his money on. But that wasn't the shocking part of the story. The shocking part of the story is he spent $30 million in 1 year. And you're like, how the hell did he spend $30 million in 1 year? Are you buying a basketball team? What are you doing? This guy spent $30 million in 1 year on drugs.
I'm in love with the cocoa. I'm in love with the cocoa. I'm blowing money fast.
$30 million on drugs and women. Now, the women part I can get. But $30 million on cocaine in 1 year? His drug dealer, I would love to be that guy. He's retired in 6 months. Sorry, in 12 months, you retired. Look at your phone. It's again? 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 Yeah, no problem. Here you go. Sure, no problem. It's a sad story. This guy's so talented, But at the same time, you got to be aware of your surroundings. You got to be responsible for your own life. And I love these stories because it's a cautionary tale for everybody out there. I don't know if any of you are watching this show called Ballers that just started with The Rock. If you're not, main basis of the story is, of the show, is these young football players, when they come out of college and they get their first contract, you know, and they've got their first piece of change, first $1 million that they've ever made, what do? Buy a chain. Buy a Porsche. Bring all your friends out and buy a big house and bring all your friends out and take everyone to dinner and buy clothes and gear and give them money so they can go out, go to the club and make it rain. So, main character, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, he works for a financial company, and he's trying to keep these young athletes from going down that path because he made that same mistake and ended up broke. And now he has to work after football. I mean, should still be able to live off your football earnings well after you've retired. But a lot of these players come out and they're broke. If you've seen ESPN 30 for 30, the one called Broke, you'll see players that have made hundreds of millions of dollars. Couch surfing, sleeping here, sleeping there, don't have a house, don't have anything. You made $100 million in your seven-year career. Where's all your money? Anyways, if you haven't seen that, by the way, if you haven't seen that 30 for 30 ESPN, it's called Broke. Take a look at it. Eye opener. And you look at guys like Magic Johnson that invested their money in the Dodgers and Starbucks and movie theaters and things like that and live in large. Kids don't have to work. And you see guys like Antoine Walker who are working in a car dealership. So, if you haven't seen that, take a look at that. But that's what that show is about. It's called Ballers. If you haven't heard of it, it's on HBO. Stream it. I don't have HBO. I stream it. It's someone I know said it was a cross between Entourage and I forget the other show he said. But yeah, it's so far season 1, episode 2. It's pretty good so far. But anyways, getting back to Scott Storch, I just don't understand how you blow $30 million on drugs in a year. But anyways, like we said earlier,
I'm in love with the coco. I'm in love with the coco.
Hopefully he gets it together, not even to come back and make beats and make music or anything like that. Hopefully he gets his life together because, you know, sad to see. But it's on him anyway. So moving on, we're going to talk about the NBA draft that just happened last week, and I wanted to do this show right after the draft. I had a guest lined up, everything. And then my New York Knicks picked at number 4 and threw my whole night into disarray. We'll recap the first 4 picks, I guess, and I'm not even going to talk. I know I told you we're going to talk about the Raptors pick. I'm not even going to talk about the Raptors pick because I got some shit to say.
Reginald, mind your words.
So we'll be back right after this. So in this segment, we're going to talk about NBA draft, which took place this past, Thursday. To me, there was maybe four franchise changers in this draft. And I said maybe four. And if you're a follower of NCAA basketball, you'll know that there's three studs. So all season, last season, we're thinking, you know, the Knicks are garbage, crap, terrible, disgusting to watch. Franchise lowest win total is at 17 in the history of the Knicks. So you're thinking, okay, we're doing this for a reason. Gotta be tanking. We can't. No basketball team can be this bad. Going out and looting to the Raptors and shit. Please. Okay. But the reward at the end of the and the reward at the end of the road was supposed to be maybe a top pick in the draft, the number one pick in the draft, maybe. For sure, number two, definitely number three. There's three studs. We got to get one of them. Draft lottery comes down. We get pick number four. And it's just like, oh, my God, here we go. And this is Phil Jackson's first draft for the Knicks, trying to rebuild this. We're trying to rebuild this franchise into the dominant franchise it should be. But you know what? We'll get into all of that when we get to pick four. What I'm gonna do right now is gonna play you all the picks in the draft. Well, not all the picks, all the top four picks in the draft. Oh my God! Anyways, people have been telling me to calm down. It's a great pick, but I'll explain to you why I don't think it's a great pick. But anyways, we'll get this thing going.
With the first pick in the 2015 NBA Draft, the Minnesota Timberwolves select Karl Anthony Towns from the University of Kentucky.
As expected, it was Jahlil Okafor for the whole season. Then the tournament started and it was like, well, look at this guy. Jahlil Okafor was supposed to go first, 6'11 freshman from Duke was supposed to go first in the draft from about, I don't know, September to when's the NCAA tournament. When did it start? March, obviously. March Madness. So from September to March, he was consensus number one first pick of the draft. And then the tournament happened and Karl Anthony Towns, you know, showed improved in the tournament and was picked first by the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now you have a possible front court of Karl Anthony Towns, maybe Anthony Bennett, and Andrew Wiggins. And in the backcourt, you have a Zach LaVine, you have a Kevin Martin, you have a Ricky Rubio still. You know, the Kevin Garnett's there. Kevin Garnett's there to teach everyone how to be an asshole. It's the only reason why I can see you bringing Kevin Garnett anywhere, is to teach these young guys how to be a freaking asshole. But we'll call him a mentor. And I'm doing air quotes. We'll call him a mentor to the young cats. So a couple of veterans on that squad, and Minnesota might be doing damage in a couple of years. Definitely knew that was a pick they had to. Towns lit up the tournament, even though their team didn't win the championship. He still lit it up. I'm keeping it short because I want to get to my Knicks. So here's pick two.
With the second pick in the 2015 NBA Draft, the Los Angeles Lakers select D'Angelo Russell from The Ohio State University.
Not a bad pick. I like these tall guards. Ever since Penny Hardaway, I like these tall guards. They can see over the defenses. If they can shoot and pass, they'll be and you can teach them maybe a couple of post moves. Unstoppable. Unstoppable. I would take a 6'5 guard over a 5'11 Chris Paul any day. People say, Reggie, you're crazy. Chris Paul's a wick. Yeah, okay, but on the defensive end of the floor, Chris Paul can't cover a 6'5 point guard. A smart 6'5 point guard. Penny Hardaway was 6'7. Unstoppable. He's killing the smaller guards. And if someone can teach one of these 6'5 guards how to exploit the smaller guards, I don't care who you are. Chris Paul, Kyrie Irving, you name it. Anybody under 6 foot, this guy should dominate. They should dominate. D'Angelo Russell from Ohio State, like I said, 6'5 guard, wicked shooter, wicked passer, plays a lot of minutes. I mean, they're still going to need help with that roster. I mean, you have D'Angelo Russell and Kobe Bryant pretty much. They're talking about getting DeMarcus Cousins from Sacramento to come play there, but time will tell. But, you know, it's one of those picks you have to make, especially in that Showtime type of environment that the LA Lakers are in. He's a great passer. I don't know if you watch any games that he's played. He's one of those. He's going to make some spectacular passes, and it fits that Showtime mentality that the Lakers have. So, no brainer for them, I guess. Moving on to pick three.
With the third pick in the 2015 NBA Draft, the Philadelphia 76ers select Jahlil Okafor from Duke University.
Sounded like Adam Silver had a little bit of trouble pronouncing Okafor. Man seemed nervous up there. I don't know if any of you saw the draft. The guy looked nervous up there. Even reading from a piece of paper, he was struggling. But anyways, this was the consensus first overall pick for much of the year, and he fell to three. The final game against Wisconsin probably sealed that fate for him. Foul trouble. When Wisconsin bigs were on him, he had trouble kicking it out from the double team. So, and if you can't handle Wisconsin's press on you or double team on you, how are you going to handle anybody in the NBA? All right? So, stock might have dropped a little bit. I mean, 1 through 5, I mean, it's the same to me. Unless you have a once-in-a-lifetime talent like a LeBron James or Michael Jordan or Patrick Ewing or someone like that. Then the difference from first to third is immense. But again, Michael Jordan wasn't picked first overall in his draft either, so you never know. I don't really want to talk about the 76ers because I don't know what the hell they're doing. They have Joel Embiid and Nerlens Noel. I mean, they had Michael Carter Williams and they traded him. They had Jrue Holiday and they traded him. It's like, I don't know what these guys are doing. Who's the point guard on the Philadelphia 76ers? Exactly. Exactly. Jason Richardson's still playing basketball and he's a starter there. That's crazy to me. I mean, you had rookie of the year. I think he was rookie of the year, Michael Carter Williams, and you traded him to Milwaukee for, I don't even know what they got back for him. Jason Kidd sitting in Milwaukee saying, yeah, we'll take him. No problem. Now, again, I don't know if there's any friction between players and upper management and coaching and things like that, but the Sixers are just a mess to me. Anything they do is just backwards. I don't understand it. But anyways, enough about the 76ers. Now we get to the fourth pick in the draft. And the most important pick in this draft. Take a sip of water, clear my throat, do a little stretch, and let's go.
With the fourth pick in the 2015 NBA Draft, the New York Knicks select Kristaps Porzingis from Liepāja, Latvia. He last played for Sevilla in Spain.
All-stars. Chris Porzingis said to be different. Some believe, Fran Fraschilla, that he has more upside than anybody in this draft. What say you?
I grew up a Knicks fan in this town. The Knicks stink. They stink. This is a good gamble. Why try to hit a single or double when you may be hitting a grand slam? Now, we realize when you look at him, he looks like an extra in a Dolph Lundgren movie that Jay Billis once started. We get that, okay? But you're talking 7'2", okay? 230 pounds, 19 years old. He is as good a shooter as there is in this draft. He's an athlete. He can be a rim protector in time. Is he going to struggle in his rookie year? Absolutely. But in 2 or 3 years, you have a chance to have somebody that you may have in New York for 12 more years. I like this pick.
Okay, so look, I'm not here to shit on anyone's parade. It's probably one of the biggest days of their lives to get drafted. Got it. And I used to kill Jay Billis, or whatever his name is, when guys used to get drafted. And the first thing he says is, congratulations, but he's not so good at doing this, and he's not so good at doing that, and he needs to work on this. And these kids are like 19 years old. It's the happiest day of their life. And then they hear this voice over the loudspeaker telling them how shit they are. So I'm glad they got away from putting that guy on the mic or on the loudspeaker when they're walking up there. But I'm not here to do that at all. Good for Kristaps Porzingis. Great that he got picked fourth in the draft. But as a Knicks fan, and if you haven't seen the pick, go on YouTube, just fast forward to the fourth pick. There's this little kid wearing a Knicks jersey looking up at the scoreboard. I swear to God, he's crying. He's crying that we picked this kid. We picked this guy. And I think they mentioned it in the clip. The despair on the Knicks. This kid was crying. Head in his hands crying that we picked this guy. Now, I talked to some of my friends during the draft, and they were telling, oh, it's a great pick. It's a great pick for you guys. Now, I don't know if they're being sarcastic, because many people love to see the Knicks fail, but this guy could be a great pick in 2-3 years. But here's the problem with that. There's many problems with that, okay? New York is like L.A. We'll start off like that. New York is like L.A. The Lakers suck, and the Clippers are good. Lakers have a huge problem. You're Showtime, you're Magic, you're Kareem, you're Kobe, you're Shaq. Clippers can never be better than you, and they are. New York is in the same boat. The New York Knicks cannot be a garbage franchise. Worth too much money. They're one of the biggest cities in New York, in the United States. Chicago, New York, LA. Those are the big markets in the NBA. So to have two of your three major markets garbage, something's got to give. And that's why I thought for sure either the Knicks or the Lakers were going to get the first pick in the draft, and the other team that didn't get the first pick was going to get the second. But no frozen envelopes this year, I guess. There's so many angles you can take on why this isn't a good pick. So many angles. First angle we're going to look at is Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony's 31 years old. People say the wrong side of 30. Melo can't post anymore. He's not taking anybody off the dribble anymore. He's pretty a jump shooter at this point in his career. He's going to need help to score the basketball, rebound and score the basketball. He's going to need help. By the time this kid is ready to produce the way we need him to produce, you're looking at 2-3 seasons from now. In 2-3 seasons from now, Carmelo Anthony is 34 years old. He signed a 5-year contract with the New York Knicks. I can't see him being here past the third year of that contract because it's backloaded and it's crazy amount of money for a 33, 34-year-old, I can't see him still being here. So you want us to wait 2-3 years for this kid to become a player, and at that time, we're going to be getting rid of Carmelo Anthony. So this guy's going to have to be the stud. Like Charles Barkley would say, it's a flawed theory. You need someone that's going to help Carmelo Anthony in his prime of his career, which is kind of on the downside, but it's now. If this is what you sold him to make him sign that 5-year deal with us. Because I know a lot of people say he was going to go to Chicago, he's going to go to LA, and he ended up signing back with the Knicks for that extra year, $20 million. But if you were promising him something, you can't go out and do this. You can't go out and draft Rafael Araujo or Bruno Cabello or whatever the hell his name is, or Andrea Bargnani. Can't do that. Turn around and look at you like, what the hell is going on here? That's one. Two. And I know they picked this guy because he's a 7-footer, he can shoot, and he's a pretty decent rim protector in Spain. If you look at this guy, real thin, 7 feet tall, sure, but I think I weigh more than him. So he's going to have to put on muscle. You're going to have to wait for him to put on a lot of muscle and work out and still keep his shot and still be able to have the technical ability to shoot his shot and get to the places where he used to be with moving all that new weight. He has to get accustomed to it. Okay? So you want him to play the triangle. It's perfect for the triangle. I think he's perfect for the triangle. Now, if this is the only move you're making, because we don't have our draft pick, well, we'll talk about that actually next. If you're keeping this guy to be, I guess, like Fran Fraschillo said, the face of the franchise after the Melo days, you better pray to God we're still running the triangle offense. Because the triangle offense last season was a freaking disaster. For those of you that watched the Knicks play, it was a disaster last year. Now, whether it's you don't have the right players to run it, whether it's whatever it is, it wasn't coached properly, whatever it is, disaster. Running the triangle offense, you won 17 blinking games last year, last season. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. So, you've got Derek Fisher, who's the coach, 5-year contract. You got Phil Jackson, president. I call him the GM, but he's not. But I'm pretty sure that he's not listening to, shit, I forget his name. What the hell is that guy's name? Fuck, I forget his name. But acting as a president and GM on a 5-year contract as well. So if this kid takes 2 to 3 years to develop, that means there's only 2 years left on these guys' contracts. And if it's still a disaster by then, Derek Fisher's going to get fired. Phil Jackson's ain't gonna be back. So all the players you're bringing in to play this triangle offense in 5 years are going to be like, well, a new coach is going to come in, a new GM is going to come in, and we're not going to play this. We're going to play high tempo, up the court, high tempo basketball. We don't need these guys, these slow guys shifting the ball on the one side of the field, one side of the court, these 7'5" shooters. We don't need them. We need fast, strong, physical guys getting up and down the court like the New York Knicks basketball used to be. In the early 90s, and how most teams play basketball nowadays. Look at the NBA Finals. It's a track meet. You watch the New York Knicks. You got to struggle to get over half court, and you got to play this offense. It's just like, oh my God, yeah, I know. I have 3 guys on this side, 2 on that side. One guy's gonna curl around. He's gonna take a jump shot. I got it. But you give it to your center because he can. You need a center that can pass out of coverage. To your shooter and you shoot the ball. Yeah, I got it. And they run it every time down the court. I get it. But you better hope if you're bringing all these triangle offense type players that you're going to be running this triangle offense for the next 10 seasons. Because with the players that they had last year and the players that they're so far that they have this year, it's going to be another disaster. And we're wasting another year of Carmelo's playing career. So if you're bringing triangle guys, like I said, you got to have them for 10 seasons. For this to make any sense to me. And if you're drafting guys to play the triangle and you're not going to stick to it, well, you can see the problem there. Third reason why I think this is a bad pick. And like again, guys, I'm just a guy that watches basketball. I'm a New York Knicks diehard fan since the early 90s. Diehard fan. Got it. I've never played in the NBA, never coached, not a GM in the NBA. Who the hell am I? I'm just a fan that looks in. Seeing how I would like this team to play basketball and looking at players I would like to see on the New York Knicks and how I would play the basketball with the New York Knicks. We don't have our draft pick next season. We traded that. We swapped. Hilarious. We swapped our draft pick with the Denver Nuggets in the Carmelo Anthony trade. So that means... if the New York Knicks have a better draft pick than the Denver Nuggets get our pick. So if we shit the bed again next season and play absolutely fucking terrible.
Reginald, mind your words.
If we play absolutely blinking terrible and we end up getting the first pick in the draft, guess what? It goes to Denver. Well, let me put it the correct way. Denver has the opportunity to say, yes, we want your pick, or no, we don't want your pick. We'll keep ours, whatever. But if you get the first pick in the draft, who the hell's going to say no? Right. So I believe even if our pick is higher than Denver's pick, they're going to take our pick, 100%. But that's not the case anymore because we traded that option in the Toronto Raptors to the Toronto Raptors for Andrea Bargnani. So now... It's so ridiculous. that pick, whatever, it's between the Toronto Raptors and the Denver Nuggets now, however that pick goes. So we don't get our pick at all. We're at home drinking beers, eating pizza, watching a draft next season. So we don't get anybody unless we can trade a player and get a pick in the draft. But who's going to trade a first round pick for any player on the New York Knicks roster of significance? Are you going to get 15th pick in the draft? 16th, 20th? Cares? Might as well keep the player you have. So, that being said, knowing that we don't have a draft pick next season, this pick that you made this season had to be a double Grand Slam. Double Grand Slam. Had to score 8 runs. So that's how people were looking at this. And it's like, yo, you know, I mean, this has to be the pick for 2 years now. This has to be the pick for 2 years. And we picked a triangle offense type of player. Personally, there's a cat out there. Played in China last year. His name is Emmanuel Mudiay. Again, with my bigger type of point guards. 6'5", 200 pounds. Fast, can shoot, can create his own shot. But wouldn't fit into the triangle offense, so we're not going to take him. Born athlete from the Congo. Born athlete. But, you know, we don't play that. That's not what we want our point guard to do in the triangle offense, so we're not gonna pick him. Best point guard in the draft. And people are going to say, oh, D'Angelo Russell. Best point guard in the draft. Stature, 6'5", 200. Already played a year of pro in China. That would have been perfect. I think that would have been perfect for the New York Knicks. Who's at our point right now? Jose Calderon and Shane Larkin? Mudiay starts next season over those two. I don't even know if Shane Larkin's coming back. Maybe it's just because I've seen the way you squander your picks, being a former Toronto Raptors fan, and how you squander first overall picks, recent history, Andrea Bargnani. LaMarcus Aldridge was in the draft. Andrea Bargnani was picked first overall in. And we all know how that's turned out. Toronto Raptors had the 8th pick in the draft 1 year and picked Rafael Araújo. You're sitting back there saying, who? And I'm sitting here saying, exactly. Next pick, Andre Iguodala. Even if I'm not mistaken, I think Jason Terry was in that draft too. I'm not 100% sure. No, I can't be. Can't be, can I? Maybe. Should have researched that. But there was another bunch of players that went after Rafael Araújo. So funny to watch GMs backtrack when they make garbage picks like that. GM's name was Rob Babcock. He comes out the day after the draft and he was like, oh yeah, we took him because he's a big physical guy and we're in Toronto and we're a hockey town. And the writers are just like, yeah, but it's basketball. You're taking a guy that'll be good in hockey, but we're playing basketball. Oh yeah. But you know, this guy was the worst basketball player I have ever seen in professional basketball. And we got a chance to watch him up close and personal, being in Toronto. Terrible basketball player. He's one of those guys that if he scores 20 points and gets 10 rebounds, it's like, oh my God, Rafael Araújo played out of his mind. You're 8th pick in the draft, bro. That's not his fault. If I remember correctly, he looked just as surprised as everybody else. Could have got that guy in the second round. Rafael Araújo. Oh my God. I don't even know where he is now. Out of BYU. Remember that. But that's what this pick feels like to me. And you heard the guy in the clip saying that no European lottery pick player has been an all-star since Pau Gasol and Dirk Nowitzki. And there's been 16 picks since then. Now, we're looking at, it's July 1st today. Well, tonight it's 1:30 in the morning right now, July 1st. So free agency starts today. Now, if the New York Knicks have this grand master plan to sign players that are out, free agents that are out there, and this guy's just going to be a piece for, you know, coming off the bench, or be a piece maybe next season because we're bringing in this guy, don't worry about it. And we didn't draft a point guard because we're bringing in Ty Lawson or something. And okay, silly Reggie. That's why you're a GM in the NBA and I'm sitting here doing a podcast. But if you don't, Wow. I don't know what to tell you. I got the utmost faith in Phil Jackson when he first started. Starting to wane a little bit. My favorite rapper, Sky Zoo, diehard Knicks fan as well, sent out a tweet right after they picked him. Sent out a tweet to Phil Jackson and I think Jim Dolan, or maybe the Knicks Twitter account. I wish I had it quoted, but to paraphrase, he's like, "I hate being loyal to this team. you guys are fucking terrible."
Reginald, mind your words.
I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but I read it. I had to read it a couple of times. I was just like, yo, calm down. And he sent this to Phil Jackson at @PhilJackson11_11, I think, or something like that. He sent it to somebody else too, but I can't remember who it was. If it was the Knicks or Derek Fisher or somebody, I don't know, or Jim Dolan. I don't know who he sent. He sent it to somebody else as well. And in his Instagram, he was just ripping the Knicks. And it's like, you're paying, and I know those guys pay a lot. It's like the Toronto Maple Leafs here. You pay a lot of money to watch these guys play or get tickets and support the team, and they put out that nonsense. I just hope that they have a plan. I just hope that this is part of the plan. And they're going to go out and try to get LaMarcus Aldridge, which is not going to happen, but try. Or they're trying to make a trade for DeMarcus Cousins, which isn't going to happen, but try. And then end up signing someone like Greg Monroe and get a Ty Lawson in here, get an Aaron Aufalo or, you know, something like that. Those three pickups with this kid. And we also traded for Horace Grant's nephew. So out of Notre Dame, he's supposed to be a lights out defender as well. So, you know, bringing those 5-6 names in, maybe an undrafted rookie, maybe someone that presses in summer league, bring back Lance Thomas, bring back Lou Amundson, you know, bring back Alexi Shved. Langston Galloway's coming back. Calderon's coming back. Do we need Cole Aldrich? I don't know. See what you can get. There has to be a plan. And it'd be so interesting to wake up tomorrow morning and see what the Knicks have done in free agency. Wake up and see they signed Dwayne Wade or something like that. But that's why I think that the Knicks shit the bed pretty much with that pick. But people say... I was reading after the draft what people were saying about the pick, and they were like, yeah, you guys got the sleeper of the draft. We'll see. And I'm going to end off with this. A good thing about this guy, actually, is that he played in Spain but didn't play on the best team in Spain. So it's easy to sit back and play on the best team in Spain, which I think is Barcelona in basketball or Real Madrid or something like that in basketball. So it's easy to play on the best team and look good. Because maybe other teams are focusing on other players and you're averaging your little 12 points a game, which looks good. But we're really concerned about not letting that guy score 50 on us. So we'll give you 12 as long as he doesn't score 50. So that's when you're on a good team. So if you're on a mediocre, okay team and you're getting 15, 17 points and everyone's playing straight up man-to-man, one-on-one defense, then that's good. But I liken it to soccer, and it's like, and if you know soccer, you'll know what I'm talking about. But is Mascherano from Barcelona a lights-out defender? No, not in the least. He's not. He's not even a defender. But when you're playing in front of Suarez, Neymar, Iniesta, Busquets, Rakitic, Messi, and you have the ball for 95% of the game, yeah, you look like a superstar. Put him on any other team in the Spanish league, and people will kill him back there. So it's good that this guy didn't play on the best team and put up numbers like that on the best team. So, if you know what I mean. And I think you do. So, moving on from the NBA draft. Disappointing. Like I said, free agency starts, well, started at midnight, an hour and 45 minutes ago. So, wake up in the morning and see what happened. But the Knicks better have a damn plan, because if not, I don't know what to tell you. Moving on, we're going to get to the album review. this week's album review, we're going to review one of my favorite rappers. Came out with a new album last week. It's called Music for My Friends. It's by an artist named Sky Zoo. And I think I gravitate to this guy because he's a fellow Knicks fan. Blue and orange everything. Magic Johnson posters, but blue and orange idols. You know. But even the story, the way he flows and the stories he tells, not a lot of filler, not a lot of nonsense talk, no drugs, little references here and there, punchlines, metaphors. I like that type of rap. Clever rap. I like that. I mean, anyone can make I'm in Love with the Coco, right? Sell a million copies of that and retire. Or if you're Scott Storch, snort it all. Shout out Still Dre. But this album, like I said, called Music for My Friends. It's just an album dedicated to how he grew up. He has a lot of shout outs to a lot of his friends on it. They do some of the interludes, actually, his friends. So pretty cool album. Been waiting for the album since last year. He told us he was doing an album called Music for My Friends, and everyone's been waiting for it since then. If you haven't heard of Sky Zoo, go on YouTube. I mean, go to your torrent site, whatever. Download it. But I also tell you, if you like it, buy it. If you don't like it, you don't have to buy it. But if you're bumping it in your car, or you find yourself nodding your head and listening to it all the time and telling other people about it, go to Amazon and get it. And I say go to Amazon and get it because we're in Canada and I can't find it here. On his Instagram page, he was going to all the Best Buys in New York and showing you that, it's like 10 copies gone. There's one copy left. Went to Best Buy here. They were looking at me like, what? You want to go to the zoo? What? So, I mean, can't find that. You can't find that here. But we're going to get right into this. I mean, it just so happens that the songs that we're going to review are sequential in order. 3, 4, 5, 6. And I mean, Lights Out production, Lights Out rhyme style. I like the way he's starting to run with a live band and all that stuff too. When he does his concerts and he does album release parties and things like that, he brings a live band and they play the beats just like the Roots used to do. So I like that aspect of what he's trying to do, take it to a different level instead of having a guy behind a turntable just playing an instrumental and you rap over it like Nas. You know what I mean? So first song we're going to preview from the album is called Moments That Matter. Love this song. So here we go.
Hands up for the moment. It's all for the moment, you know. Moments that matter the most to us. Those moments. First generation rich. They go like this. The moments we all waited for. Dreaming down on the first, we all paying for. More to be expected and more to get you acquainted on. We all in for the winter till the parade is on. We gone, and the drivers with the roof peeled. The AC on, providing how the truth feels. Cool, chilly chill like I didn't mean to be. But all of this shit is really about the scenery. Cause sightseeing's like window shopping. You might see it and proceed to believe it. You bust a move or move. You might lead it like the intro got it. You might be it and proceed to believe it. It takes you to be you. It takes us to be us. And we the same club, knotted up together forever. To rearrange was not in the design nor the ties that bind us. We saw it and got on it, no blinders. You see it now.
Wanted it as much as we wanted to breathe. Top down with a beautiful scene. Sorry for the taking and wanting a piece. Sorry for the taking and made him believe.
Love that track. And you can hear that he's talking about his friends in there. I think K. Cola does the hook for him. If you haven't heard her stuff, go pick that. Go on and listen to that first, then go pick it up. It's definitely talking about his friends. And I like that he's made an album dedicated to his friends who were with him in the struggle, and like he likes to call them his day ones. But how can you blink at this flow? What he's talking about? Rise the rhythm like a champ.
For all the right reasons that may just be from above.
I came up with each their own, right? So, anyways, the next song we're going to review is called Luxury. It's featuring West Side Gun. It's track 4 off the album. Here you go.
Know what we be on. First ones to it. Everything is FGR. Know what we be on. First ones to it. Everything is FGR. Designer sweats off designer plugs. My fan base pedal krills or designer drugs. Money hand over fist like a Steiner glove. Drop Jeep box seats, what I remind you of. Aura of the city, everything that I came for. And a carry on, I carry on like a wave boy. Hand it work to whoever like it's my aim gone. Fly murder forever like it's your name, Lord. Devil wear Prada, Hitler wear Hermes. Hobby and Celine with your queen going burlesque. Either that or supreme, I'm supremely the deity. Crowned off the point, high weave where the needle be. And it's leaving legendary if it come to me. Rep means everything, mine means luxury. Ha! And we try and turn bread like Harpo. Talking Marlowe with a Partlow arms full. If I don't make it, bet the fam will. Watch the city fall in love with us. Clyde Frazier with the hand skills. Double rings, baby, double up.
Yeah, wore the same pair of mains outside 4 weeks straight, fronting like we ain't rich. Baddest chick you ever seen, nigga, like pulling bottles all night like she wanna chit. You know we here for the luxury. Yeah, you know we here for the luxury. Yeah, until we filthy with that bank.
So that song is called Luxury. Love the beat, bass line, old school hip hop bass line there. It's actually produced by himself, Sky Zoo. First song was produced by Jello Beats and co-produced by Ant-Man Wonder. Lots of producers on this. Black Metaphor, Illmind. If you haven't picked up that Illmind Live from the Tape Deck, yeah, I'm gonna add speakers on blast. Pick that up. Apollo Brown did some production. Praise, DJ Prince. So, lots of different producers on there. If you're an Apollo Brown man, get on that. Thelonious Martin as well. So, and again, people, if you don't know what I'm talking about when I'm naming all these names, do your research. Heads know. So, that's why I'm just out here saying, flinging out all these names. If you don't know who they are, do your research. Do your research. Get off the radio and actually do some research. So, next song we're going to review. It's called Everything's For Sale. Love this track too. Let's go.
Everything's for sale. Everything's for sale. 5 passports, we never going to jail. He said everything's for sale. Sold us 5 passports and we never going to jail. So we working on it. Okay. Outside still smelling like where the winner's at. Look at all these empires under these fitted hats. Look at the grills on the cars we could be leaning on. Now look at all these unmarked cars that's grilling back. Fuck, how real is that? How real it is. All of us is just pictures of what the city did. The city made us to keep it the way you see it though. Or be alone when the world say what the city is. And we is who we say we is, you know as well. Part nerd, part grind, like I know Pharrell. Frenzy's outside, don't ever slow the deal. No circulars here, you can't hold a cell. For real, low sweats and aqua eats. Blue through the cushion as long as you got a plate. Fruits of the labor, whoever sure wanna taste. Swear we heard that all, yo, everything they would say. All of it though, they said everything's for sale. Sold us 5 passports and we never going to jail. So we working on the 2nd and the 3rd and the 4th and the 5th till it clicks like everything is for real.
I know we discussed what type of beats I like a couple episodes ago. A lot of episodes ago. He put a horn, piano, and I forgot a flute in any track. I'll listen to it. Yeah, the first 10 times I listened to it, I probably won't even hear what the guy's saying. But love that track. Love that. Love the musicality of that track. Beautiful. And again, it's the flow, right? Calm demeanor, telling you a story. It's the type of lyrics you really gotta listen to, like him and Jay Live and J. Cole. And you gotta listen to what they're saying. You might have to play the song 3, 4, 5 times to actually get what the song is about. That's what I like. There's some songs you put in the. There's some songs you can put in the. In your iPod or whatever, and listen to it in your car. Listen to it once, and be like, yeah, boom, 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 nice beat, yeah. What are you talking about? Yeah. Whip it, or whatever the hell. You know what I mean? But you know, those songs that you gotta listen to 3 or 4 times to actually get the real meaning of what the song is about. That's what I'm. That's what I like. That's what I like. So finally, song 6 that we're gonna review from Skyzoo's newest effort called Music for My Friends. It's called See a Key. And it's featuring Jadakiss from The Lox. So there you go.
Just come back.
I go to sleep and see a key tucked inside a duffel, trying to be up out of reach. It's like you came to life and it was sweet enough to speak. Told me call a couple friends of yours and lead me to the street, right? Peep it, I go to sleep and see a key hoping in a rover, same way they used to show us. Told them pay us like you owe us, but attention you can keep. Said it's better when it's quiet, baby, slip that underneath. So to tuck away the convo, conversing in Morse code. Seem like everything it should be, till they beyond those. Putting everything on your leap unless the alarm broke. The key might lead to a key to where Nia Long go. Visionary riches turning missionary missions. But fuck if I'm sitting still unless I'm sitting there digit. Bet you reconsider if you consider where we get it. The sweetest shit that you ever dreamed till you arisen. Like, wait, hold up, I go to sleep and see a key. Sleep kind different when it's begging you to get it. I mean, peep it, I go to sleep and see a key. Sleep is out the norm, but I'm with it till the morn at least. Peep it, I go to sleep and see a kilo. Dressed as opportunity, hand over the peephole. Collecting my gratuity, married to the reload. As long as we repeating, we'll never be with the repos. Call it how it be, but we'll never be with the B-lows. If we looking underneath, then we looking up under seats. Now look up at your beliefs, and down at your wrist. And you look up at what you need, and blow it down on the flip. I'm just looking to get a key, the one for the door furthest. And the dream turned into short orders and tall murders. With a fist full of dollars, ignorance is so blissful.
I'm gonna play this until the Jadakiss verse comes in.
Get us where we need and we'll call it even and leave. Oversleep, as you know, it's easier there to breathe. And sleeping in the thought of the above, off the love till the lock is all plugged and you banging on the key. You get it? I go to sleep and see a key. Sleep kind of different when it's begging you to get it. I mean, peep it. I go to sleep and see a key. And sleep is out the norm, but I'm with it till the morning at least. Peep it.
Starting to think I need counseling. Cause when I go to sleep, I see 36 ounces.
damn, all I remember was the bouncers telling me put the smoke out, trying to move this coke out, yeah. Woke up in a cold sweat, then I broke out, trying to go back where I left, it ain't right though, nah. You know I'm in the kitchen, the chef, straight nitro, fiends say when they take a hit, it make the pipe glow, ooh. Hoping I see the same shit the next night, yo, great powder, yeah. We usually don't allow it, if this is what it's about, I'ma need my 8 hours.
Well, what can you say? I mean, Jadakiss doing it, right? And for me personally, sorry, I was listening to the last verse, sorry. But for me, that sounds like a freestyle Sky Zoo hits. That's how seamless his flow is. Sounds like a freestyle to me. But especially the second verse sounds like a freestyle. But for all you out there, definitely pick this up. It's called Music for My Friends. If you haven't picked up his last album called A Dream Deferred, you better get that as well. I mean, there's some tracks on that. It's a beautiful album. You'll play it front to back and over and over and over and over again. So once again, Sky Zoo, Music for My Friends, in stores now. Definitely suggest you buy it. It's a banger. Play it for the summer. Won't be disappointed. Next, we're going to talk about a story that that took place in the city of Toronto, or a suburb of Toronto, in the GTA, Greater Toronto Area. So, sad story, but stay tuned for that. So we're actually going to leave that story that we're going to talk about until next week, because I just looked at the time and it's I've been talking for about an hour and 20 minutes almost, so we'll leave that story for next week, and we'll talk about it then. Just before I go, I would like to give a shout out to somebody that I found on SoundCloud. His name is Justin Kilgore, rapper, runs with a crew called Top Shotters. I was just messing around on SoundCloud and I came across his stuff. It has a song called Way Back. And for those of you that are familiar with the Bag Lady beat from Erykah Badu, he uses chops from that. I like the beat. I like the beat. I always liked that song. I like the beat. I like the way he used the chops from that song. So check him out. You can get it to him on Twitter as well. His name's Justin Kilgore. Last name spelled K-I-L-G-O-R-E, I believe. Justin, not an I with an E. So, definitely check that out. Now, all that being said, we're going to leave you this week. We can be reached on our website, straighttalks.com, STR, the number 8, TALKS.com, at straighttalks, STR, the number 8, TALKS, all one word, if you want to reach us on Twitter. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, TuneIn, number of different podcatchers as well. You can subscribe via email. We have a form. Join in. Register. Start a dialogue there. Put your thoughts down. Anything that you don't agree with, or anything that you do agree with that I've said in previous podcasts or this episode, go ahead and write everything down there. Someone looks at it and definitely get back to you. Yeah, but so everybody, thanks for listening to episode 20 of the Straight Talks podcast, and we'll catch you next week.
This is a throwdown, a showdown. Hell no, I can't slow down. It's gonna go.
First offense.
All the mix.
Go on and break.
Okay, party people in the house.
May I have attention, please?
In a moment, the beat will be played in many parts.
Go on and break.
Many, many parts. Very.
One, two.
Is amplified, so just glide, glide, and let your backbone slide. Slide. You listen to every word I say, every verb you heard I play. Snaps the vertebrae. You try to cover, a hover me, a roast, a fake, a flag that I run a post. Toast, I'm the most. DEF's how it goes. No X's or O's or tic tac toes. LTD knows this ain't a game, I'm on a mission. Call me a hip hop tip tactician. I rap just like a slab of clay that's shapeless. Chef ain't no shimmer, no glasses, tasteless.
A universe without light is lightless. That's why I always take time to write this. I'm holding in my hands before I start chiseling. Could be a rain or brainstorm or drizzling. Sun could be shining, sun could be showering. Practice makes perfect, I'm powering, flowering. My lyrics are awesome and tuning, voluming, blooming, I'm blossoming. Blowing away blockades and barricades. Make it black and blue from the blast to the blaze. It's a blood sport. Blood builds out back. I make your vision go blurry while your brain goes blank into oblivion. Beats from box to box, the bass rocks from blocks and blocks. Let your backbone slide.
That was nasty, right? I cocked that joint back and banged on him.